Welcome to Career Tools. Setting up a training room. This cast answers these questions. How do I set up a training room to help attendees learn? What do I need to take into account when deciding where to hold training? What's the difference between training and presentations? Well, if you want answers to these questions and more, keep listening. Here we go. Okay, Mark, first of all, thanks for allowing me to be on a Career Tools cast. It's been a while.
Same for me, actually.
So this is awesome. Yeah. And today we're going to talk about training rooms, something you and I have been involved in setting up for a long time. I think you've been doing it longer, which is like 25 years maybe or so.
Forever. That's the timeline, is forever. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So you've probably discovered a thing or two about what works and what doesn't. So today we're going to share what works and why that's so. So what's our outline here?
Yeah, we'll start with the single biggest mistake that people make, and it's probably not their fault to some degree because they don't know the difference between a presentation and training. And so the first rule is never use a conference room. Never, 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 never. I go so far as to say, is all you have is a choice of a conference room? Then just cancel the training.
But there are times you can use a conference room though, right?
I thought I just said never, ever, ever.
Okay. All right. Okay.
Yeah, I don't know. Let's just check the tape and see. Never.
Never.
Okay. Second thing is, whatever space you think you need, double it. If you're using a training room now in your company and you got the number of people in the square footage, double it. Then that's probably a good size. Meaning the spaces you've been using are too small. You set up the room classroom style and you don't have a podium. Podiums are bad, arguably the spawn of the devil. You want the room to be cold, like 68 degrees, not kidding. If you're only going to have one presenter, you can't really do training without 50 people. Now, you can do a presentation. You can do a speech, in which case you may want to have a podium.
You said you can't do training without 50 people. You meant no more than 50 people, any more than 50 people.
Yeah, with no more than 50 people. Yeah. And you've got to use your AV really carefully. Most people prepping for training, a training session, will focus on their slides, but the slides are not the presentation. You are.
Yeah, but of course, my training is reading the slides out loud.
Yes, exactly. Good. You're a keeper. You are.
Yeah. I'll never be invited back again on this podcast.
Hey, speaking of us on podcasts, I think our audience has to get used to the idea of us gradually being heard less and less. Manager Tools mission, Career Tools mission, every manager effective, every professional productive. That's not going to happen in my lifetimes. We're not a couple of founders who will hang on to the bitter end. We are grooming people and hiring people to become our successors. And my voice is not what's important. What's important is the quality of the content, which I'll be doing in the background. But they'll probably hear us less and less in the future.
Yeah. So yeah, if you understand why this is so, Mark and I were talking this week and we both woke up on Saturday morning and we had this epiphany. We're old. We're old. We're not 25 anymore.
Actually, that's slightly wrong, Mike. You woke up, you thought you were old, and you called me and said, I'm old. And since we're very close in age, therefore, dude, you're old. And I said, yeah, I think you're right. Even though we both still feel 25.
Exactly. Don't look at it anymore. All right. So never in a conference room. Why is that?
Yeah. There's way too many downsides. There's no upsides to speak of. The solution to this, to solve the problem of training room paucity, which leads to conference room use, is to reserve a training room in your organization once a month for the next year. So 12 reservations. And then when you discover you don't need it, you know, there's no reason to book it, give it up and somebody else will fill it up. Because so many organizations or corporate organizations particularly just don't physically have training rooms. I would say the single biggest thing now that affects training delivery dates with our clients is our clients finding a physical room to conduct the training in. At a couple of our clients, it's the only factor. They would want us for 10 or 15 more sessions, and they literally can't find a single conference room within half a mile of where the team or groups of people are that are going to come to the training.
Well, that's interesting because if you reserve them 12 months in advance, say one a month, whatever, not only do you ensure that you have the resources necessary to do your training when you want to with your team, you also have something to bargain with when you need to. So it's a great political move
too. Yeah, exactly. Okay, but you asked what's wrong with the conference room. Generally, they're not nearly big enough. And in terms of floor space, usable floor space, that big oval or square table in the room means you have almost no usable floor space. If we start to measure rooms, not by their square footage, but by the usable floor space, conference room almost look comically small compared to another room that is empty and that you get to set up the way you want. But typically conference rooms don't give you that flexibility. You can't touch the conference room table, for heaven's sakes. Even if you don't want everyone to get up during the training for some insane reason, because believe me, you do want people up and moving around during training, just getting up and moving around, let alone just going to breaks, is difficult in a conference room setup. In fact, I've had people walk into rooms, know it was training, maybe not make a big distinction between training and presentation, walk into the room and spend longer looking at the conference room table to decide where to sit. Because depending upon which end of the room the door is on, and how wide the room is relative to the table, you could be in some seats that you can't get to the door. And that just makes people uncomfortable. If you have food or coffee delivered, typically conference rooms have a door that leads to a hallway, and the hallway is unlikely in most cases, not all, but most cases, to be a good venue for you to leave your food, particularly if there's only one door, and even if there's two doors coming and going out of the room. And so now you've got the smell of food in the room, and so people begin to feel like there's no fresh air. Plus, look, a square table, a rectangular table, or an oval table, it's not conducive to learning. You nearly always end up presenting from one end of the room. So your audience is, it's difficult to take notes. They're turning 90 degrees to look at you. It's not comfortable for hours on end.
Right. And if you walk to the side, then you're literally, it's not even 90 degrees. You're talking to their backs.
Well, yeah. And the vast majority of conference rooms, you can't walk to the side. You can't, because you can't fit. People have backed up from the table and leaned back in those nice, comfortable chairs. There's no way around. Look, other stuff. Between the doors and windows and the AV equipment, there's very little wall space for sticking flip charts to. And if you don't use sticky flip charts for training, you're crazy. They often have normal or low ceilings, which brings lights closer to you, which means more heat. Plus, a room that has lower ceilings heats up faster and resists cooling much more than a high ceiling room. Again, you know, okay, maybe you say, I have to have it. I got to have training in a conference room. But the availability of a conference room for training does not outweigh the downsides of it. The solution is never to give up and use a conference room. Don't recommend it, period. End of story. Folks, we don't talk enough about the fact that one of the major parts of our business is delivering the effective manager training, the effective communicator training, and the effective hiring manager training for corporate clients on site. We can train 30 of your managers or professionals for essentially half the cost of sending them piece by piece to one of our public conferences. If you've got 30, and certainly if you've got more than that, and you want everyone to hear the same message, and you want follow-up after the fact to help embed the learning, and ongoing support from us, send Maggie a note at Maggie, M-A-G-G-I-E, at manager-tools.com, and she'll be happy to have a conversation with you. We'd love to come help.
Okay, so let's talk about the space you think you need and doubling it. I take it most people vastly underestimate the amount of space they need.
Absolutely. If you find a meeting space calculator online, you know, trying to help you, hotels trying to help you figure out how big a meeting room space, it will tell you that for 10 people classroom style, you need 240 square feet. which is just a little bit bigger than a room that's 15 feet linear feet on each side. A three-seater couch is 7 feet wide, so you could fit two couches along each side of the room. If you have tables, which are 18 inches usually, the tables, banquet tables that you get at hotels for classroom style, 18 inches, and then how much space people need laterally, which is 2 feet each, and how much room they need behind them, 3 feet or so. I mean, the math just breaks down immediately. Yeah, technically, you can have 10 people and a trainer fit in that space, but 356 people can fit in coach on a 747. And, you know, sorry, but that's not conducive to learning or creativity or innovation or communication.
Yeah, if somebody compares the efficiency that you have in your presentations by saying that it's kind of like, you know, getting as many people as you can in a 747 in coach, that's not a compliment.
Yes, exactly. Now, look, if you're looking for rooms off-site, be wary of what hotels will tell you they can do for you with, they'll immediately say, how many people? Oh, well, for that many people, we'll put you in this room. And they're going to try to sell you the smallest room because part of their revenue planning is based on charging per person in the room. If they can have you and your 10 trainees in a smaller room, that's more profitable for them than putting 10 trainees into the bigger room based on a per head profit, which matters to them. They also then are free to sell the bigger room to somebody with 20 people. They would rather have 10 people in one room and 20 in the other. Heaven forbid they give you the room with the room for 20, which they will if you ask for it, and you'll pay a little bit more for your 10 people, but then not be able to sell the room that's meant for 10 to a group that calls them afterwards that has 20. So they're going to cram you down. I don't mean to be disrespectful. They figured out what they think they need, but they aren't experts at delivering training.
Yeah, I guess that's a great point, which is, yeah, don't take advice from hotel folks as to how much space you need to do training, because they'll tell you, oh, we've done this a million times. You only need this much space.
Yeah.
And they're wrong. They have different incentives than the effectiveness of your training.
Yeah. And they're not bad people. They're just, the incentives are different. So they're going to respond to you differently than you would like. Now, they'll give you the bigger room. They're just going to charge you for it. And believe me, you want to pay for it. Having enough space for everyone to get up and freely move around is surprisingly important. Most people think immediately of breaks, people walking around on breaks. But if you're having trainees do exercises, and if you're training people, that's what they're doing. Certainly some types of training like computer software or computer-based training are different. But if they're going to do exercises, you might want them to stand up or gather in little groups. If you don't have space around the tables, around the rooms, you can't do this. And people begin to get uncomfortable sitting and sitting and sitting and sitting. Long trainings, and when we think long, we mean all day, in rooms that have low ceilings or cramped dimensions, right? Makes people irritable, claustrophobic, frustrated. That's not good, right, for learning. And look, your trainees are going to come back from breaks late because they go out in the hall and they feel that fresh air. They feel the expansiveness, even in a standard corporate hallway. And then they don't want to come back in. And so then they go to their desk.
That's right. Or they delay coming in. They're late coming back from breaks and all sorts of things that are not good.
If you can get a room with windows, obviously do that. Pretty rare that you can get windows. Even if you put flip chart paper on the windows, big sticky flip chart paper on the windows, it's still better to have a view and natural light. I didn't know that when I was 25, but now I know natural light makes a huge difference. If you can, get a room without columns in it. I promise you, there are diagrams of rooms at hotels all over the world, and they don't give you a diagram. Or they give you pictures of the room, but it seems incomplete. That's because there's a pillar in the middle of the room. Completely necessary for structure, but that structure has different incentives than you.
I forget, we were in London or Germany. I forget where we got a diagram and it looked great until we showed up that evening and like, oh, yeah, there's two pillars.
Actually, those two pillars, in one case, we had a divider in part of the room. It was in Seattle, as I recall. And there was like a third of a part of the room that you couldn't use. It was odd. I don't remember ever having anything like that ever again. And by the way, the hotel will tell you, oh, look, don't worry about the columns. Everybody works around them. That's because they stink at training and they don't know what they're doing. And they don't care about the experience the trainees are going to have. You want to have a good experience, no columns. Folks, this podcast is free, just like all of ours, but it also takes you 30 to 45 minutes to listen to. What I would do if I were a listener and I didn't have to write all the show notes, I would buy a license for $200 a year. That gives you access to the next year's worth of content. And for now, the entire archive for the previous 13 years in written form. It also gives you access to the interview creation tool, my weekly email, Things I Think, which is, I'm told, quite popular. But most important for me, it's the show notes. The fact that I could download the show notes and read the cast in 5 minutes. Can't do it in the car, but I could do it at my desk. And if I really need to prep for a meeting with my boss and I've got 15 minutes, I can do that with show notes, but I can't do that listening to the audio podcast. $200 a year, available at managertools.com.
All right, Mark, let's talk about the classroom style.
Yes.
And the lack of a podium and no podium.
Yeah. Well, think about classrooms with podiums. They don't have it. Only insecure professors use podiums. So conference rooms don't work. You need more space than you think. Okay. Let's say you have enough space and you're not in a conference room. How do you lay out the room? The answer is classroom style. That's what event planners call it. Rows of tables with trainees on one side facing the front of the room where you're presenting. We don't mean classroom in the sense that everybody gets their own individual desk, typically the type of tables that are 6 feet by 18 inches that hotels and banquet centers have. You can fit two and sometimes three people at each table. And so there's a row of tables and chairs behind them, and then a gap before the next row of tables and chairs behind them. You definitely want to leave an aisle down the middle of the room. And weirdly, by the way, then I promise you every hotel in the world will then put the presentation, the projector table, directly in the gap of the front row. So there's no way to use the aisle without jostling the projector, which is a very unprofessional look. So you may need to adjust the depth of the projector to fill up the screen, but to leave enough of a gap between that projector table and the first row so that you can walk between the first row and the projector table easily without being overly cautious. But you then want an aisle down the middle so you can walk all the way through the room. Then also, if somebody in the back has a question during the break, they can easily walk up and ask you during the break. If it's a really big room, you know, 50 people, you should be able to get away with not doing this, but hypothetically, you could have two aisles. You know, maybe a table, an aisle, a table, an aisle, a table. So that's six people in the front row. For 50, you then have roughly eight rows deep, and it would be three sections of 8 times 2, 16, which gets you 16, 16, and 16, which gets 48. Now, this is going to blow some people away, and it may require you to consider getting a microphone for help, a lavalier mic, wireless mic for you. You want 6 feet between the back of one table and the front of the next table, okay? That means that trainees don't need to squeeze past each other like they were in a theater every time they want to get up. And just to give you an idea how serious we are about that, we carry tape measures on the road to measure. Yes, it extends the room. And yes, if you don't want to use a microphone, it's going to be really hard on you. I don't think your voice, no offense, guys, is the biggest problem. But if, in fact, you're thinking, I want people really close together, you're creating a different form of claustrophobia and discomfort, all to avoid using a wireless mic. Now, typically at hotels, wireless mics cost money, but it's a worthwhile investment to improve the outcome of the training. In an ideal world, if you can, and usually you can, you want to chevron the tables. And that means instead of having the tables in a rectangular room perpendicular to the long axis of the room, so the long axis of the table is perpendicular to the long axis of the room, try turning them facing toward the middle, a little bit, maybe 30 degrees or so, so that the person sitting at the rightmost and leftmost edge of the first row and second row and third row, of course, are actually further closer to the screen than the person sitting in the first row in the aisle in the middle. That helps focus everybody on the center of the training room rather than everybody just facing forward as if they're on a train with no focal point to the room. And by the way, when you do that, you actually create a little bit more space on the sides. And all you have to do is Google training room layout and you'll find some examples of this. Full disclosure, you'll also find some bad examples, but you know, because it's on the internet, it's true. Whatever you do in terms of layout, do not ever use rounds, which are circular tables. Oh, they call it rounds. I don't know why they do that. I think it's a term of art. Or half rounds. And if you use rounds, half of your audience is going to be turned away from you or away from their notes. It's stupid. It's wrong. It's dumb. And hotels do it in some cases as a connection to the size of the room. Oh, we're in the ballroom, so we need rounds. So you tell them you want a bigger room. They say, oh, you'll need rounds. No, I don't. I want comfort. Oh, no, we don't do that. Oh, okay. That's fine. Set it up however you want and leave me some long tables. And 8 o'clock the night before, I'll get in there and I'll rearrange the entire room because it shouldn't be the way the hotel wanted. It should be the way that you want it. It's also difficult to form small groups the bigger the tables you are, and those tables take up a lot of room, and then they put them too close together, and if two people sitting adjacent to one another at two different big round tables both scoot their chairs back, now you suddenly don't have an aisle there. And then there's theater style, which basically says you're going to be entertained, and this is not about you working and learning. And by the way, people actually describe if they've been in training and they've been in a classroom style where they get a desk and, you know, a space to write on and not just to type emails on their laptop, thanks to your ground rules. They actually describe being in theater style as feeling very exposed, very uncomfortable, at risk, vulnerable. So you want to give people the classroom style table in front of them. As we said before, you don't need a podium. You don't need a stage. You don't need a lectern. Now, if you've got 250 people in a room, you need a stage so everybody can see you, but that's probably not training. That's a presentation. Just for the record, a podium is a raised platform on which a speaker stands. It's a couple of feet high. A stage is like higher than that, like 4 feet high. A lectern is the thing that a lot of people call a podium. Just for the record, that's not a podium, that's a lectern. And the answer is you don't want any of those things because lecturing and training aren't the same thing. Podiums and lecterns are for lecturing, but we're not lecturing. And a lecture is you standing up front reading from your notes or the people in the audience being passive listeners and capturer of knowledge rather than actively behaving and doing things differently. Also, podiums look really weird in a room of less than 50 people because people inherently know sort of biologically that you don't need to be on a podium. And a room with less than 50 people is probably going to have normal height ceilings. And so if you're up a foot higher or 2 feet higher, I don't know, looks weird. And since you're not lecturing, you don't want a lectern. A lectern even in a room of 50 people is weird. It also causes a lot of presenters to anchor themselves to the lectern, which distances them from the audience. So no, definitely not. At the front of the room, in front of your front row, let's assume you have slides. You need a table, hypothetically, unless you've got a projector hung from the ceiling, a table for your laptop or iPad or Surface tablet or whatever connected to a projector and ideally power right underneath them or taped down power lines, extension cords to the nearest electrical outlet. And that's it, really. You don't need a table for all your stuff. Put your stuff out of the way so people don't look at it. If there's no other place, put it in the back of the room with the attendees' stuff so that your presentation, when they're looking at the front of the room, what they see is you and not stuff.
Okay, let's get on to the really exciting stuff, which is,
Oh yeah.
I just really love this, like cold, 68 degrees cold.
This is a classic. You can't please everybody. We mentioned the temperature we keep our conference rooms in. in every email we send out about our training conferences. In general, people are used to warmer rooms, especially during training. But it's dumb. This is common wisdom, which I've said it before on the show. Wisdom isn't common. So when people say common wisdom, that's designed to indicate that it's dumb. Heat makes people sleepy. It's not so much lunch that causes people to go to sleep. It's lunch plus sitting still plus heat that puts people to sleep. If you want people actively engaged in their learning, they need to be awake. Also, if you get people warm and then they stand up and start moving around and now they're sweating, they don't like that feeling at all. People generally don't think about themselves sweating at work for the most part. Okay. Anybody coming to training certainly doesn't expect to feel themselves sweating because the room is warm. Your body naturally slows down when it gets hot in order to maintain essentially homeostasis, right? It's harder to be working hard and then to be fighting your body's urges throughout the day. If you've already sweated at 10 in the morning, you're going to feel sweaty. Even if it dries, you're going to feel dirty for the rest of the day. Not good. If everybody in your room is comfortable in temperature at 8 in the morning, this is particularly true in the wintertime where they're happy to be inside a warm room, and that room then gets a bunch of people in it, and those people start moving around, and they warm up the room. At 2 o'clock, when they're sitting, perhaps, between exercises, at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, there is no way that air conditioning will cool down that room. And now you are fighting the natural tendency for people to want to go to sleep after a big meal and a warm room and mental tiredness, and the rest of your training will be wasted. You can always make a room warmer. You can't always make a room colder. You want it cold in the morning so that it's tolerable, appropriate, reasonable, perhaps comfortable in the afternoon. Computers, phones, lights, people all create heat. Start the room as cold as you can and then let it get to normal or room temperature by 5 o'clock.
Okay, so one presenter and no more than 50 people.
Yeah, so for training, one presenter can't handle more than 50 people. If they're doing exercises, the presenter, the trainer needs to go around and observe and correct and suggest and encourage, and 50 people is just too much. Good training is interactive. There's questions and there's checks for understanding and exercises. You just can't do it. And by the way, that doesn't mean that the limit for two presenters is 100 people. If the old puzzle about men digging holes demonstrates, it basically demonstrates this. If 9 men take 9 hours to dig 9 holes, how many hours does it take for 3 men to dig 3 holes? The answer isn't 3 hours, okay? 100 people have twice as many questions as 50 people, but the two trainers can't answer those questions at the same time. So you're not going to have as effective an outcome with 100 people in one session with two presenters. Two 50-person sessions will work. Now, you may choose not to afford that, but recognize you're choosing efficiency over effectiveness, and you're going to get less uptake, less behavior change out of the training. And the whole point of training is behavior change, not people saying the training was awesome. That's one of the things trainers, corporate trainers all the time saying, oh, I can make anybody love any subject. I don't care whether they love it. I care whether they do it after the fact. Oh, we don't measure that.
Okay. AV. Man, that's abused often. So we suggest you use it pretty carefully.
Yeah. We just want to mention it here because people obsess about AV for training. And I think I understand why. The primary reason they do is because they believe that their presentation is the deck, the slide deck, which is ludicrous. They are the presentation, not the slide deck. But we have a whole nother set of guidance called AV equipment use, audiovisual equipment use, that goes into way more depth, okay? You may think you need a projector, but you might not, to be honest. You may not think you need flip charts, but you probably do. Slides tend to cause people to concentrate too much on their technology rather than the message. If you can't present a training you're developing with the projector out, with everybody having a printed copy, of course, everyone in the audience has a printed copy of the deck so they can take notes. If you can't present without your slides, and maybe just check which slide the audience is on, or say, hey, turn to page 5, because you have a printed version as well, you're not prepared. If you have to turn around to look at your slides, you're not a great presenter. I'm sorry, you're not. It proves that you haven't rehearsed, that you don't know where you are and where you're supposed to be, and need the crutch of the visual aid, which really is only there to strengthen the key points for memory for the audience. But it's certainly not an outline for you to read from.
Well, that's disappointing.
Yeah.
Too often becomes a crutch for the presenter. That's not his purpose.
Yeah. And that's because they wrote it as their presentation. The moment the deck is done, they think they're done. And then they didn't rehearse. And so their first rehearsal is in front of the deck, in front of the audience. Shameful. So look, let me summarize quickly, because we're at 30 minutes, right? If you take one thing away from this guidance, folks, it's take more space than you need. And of course, as a caveat to that, don't use a conference room. If you could justify it price-wise, we would always at Manager Tools rent the entire ballroom for a group of only 30 people in classroom style, leaving massive free space. If you ever have the budget to do it, try it one time and you will never forget the experience.
And never go back.
Yeah, exactly.
If you can avoid it. All right, my friend. Thank you.
Anytime, partner. That was fun.
Super. All right, folks. Take care.